The Clare Byrne Show on News Talk
with Aviva Insurance.
Now, a warning before we start this next piece. It does deal with sensitive topics, particularly sexual assault, so your discretion is advised. The Gisele Pellico case, which gripped the world when her husband went on trial, has prompted a new CNN investigation which has exposed an underground subculture with men teaching and encouraging one another to drug and rape their partners while they sleep. Joining me to tell me more is one of the CNN investigative reporters behind this, Saskia Van Doorn. Saskia, good morning to you.
Good morning, Claire.
Was the Pellico case the inspiration behind this investigation?
Yes, it's where it all began, really, because in the wake of the trial, we began noticing similar reports emerging across Europe of men drugging and raping their partners. And we wanted to understand what was driving this. Was it that more women were speaking out, or was it that there was a genuine increase in these crimes? And we still don't have a concrete answer to that, because when it comes to drug-facilitated marital rape, data is really limited. But we knew that the website called Coco, that Dominic Pellico had used, you know, that played a huge part in the Pellico case because he used it to recruit the men to rape his wife. We knew that there were other sites like it. So my colleagues, Neve Kennedy, Cara Fox and I, we decided to investigate them.
And how difficult was it to find those other sites that were hosting this type of content and these people?
Not difficult at all. They're not on the dark web. They're out there. You don't even need an email address. You can just log into it. And, you know, the main website we were looking into was a porn site called Motherless. So we created a male persona to get into it. And we began witnessing men from all over the world exchanging tips on how to drug and rape their partners. And, you know, they really go into detail, step-by-step instructions. They lay out what drugs to use, how to use them, and they essentially encourage each other to commit these crimes.
So extremely easy to access all of this and to be part of this community, which I've described as a sort of a subculture, but it's certainly not underground if you don't even need an email address to go onto these sites.
It's not underground. And I think that's what was shocking, was that they act with kind of almost total impunity. They're not trying to hide it. And the way that they speak about the women, the way that they objectify them, you know, the way that they normalize rape, I think it was just chilling to witness them not trying to hide this. They're not doing it on the dark web. It's just out there for everybody to see.
Mm-hmm. So where are these users from? Is it a worldwide thing?
It is worldwide. We messaged with multiple users across the US, the UK, France, Brazil, Ireland, and most of them communicate in English. And the way that I would describe this kind of global brotherhood is one that is terrifying. You know, they believe that women should be inanimate objects to be played with.
Mm-hmm. And some of the hashtags that they're using on this content that they're posting gives us a clue as to what they're doing, what they believe that they are doing, and that they understand that they are engaging in something that is extremely morally questionable, but also illegal.
Yeah, one hashtag is iCheck, and that hashtag is a way of proving that a woman is asleep. So in the videos, you'll see a man will lift up the woman's eyelid and they'll show that she's completely sedated. The eye isn't reacting. It's unfocused. It looks glassy. And then he'll go on to carry out a sex act on her. And that was just, you know, one part of the website. There was another user who was advertising on his page liquid sedative. And I began messaging with him, and he told me he was running a business, shipping it around the world. And we also saw users who were selling live streams. So for as little as $20, you could watch a woman who was asleep, being raped in real time. So just lots of different kind of revenue streams and ways of displaying this content.
Mm-hmm. So you said you were messaging somebody who was selling this drug. So you and your colleagues managed to engage with some of these men.
We did. And we had obviously very strict kind of ethical guidelines because in this underworld, currency are kind of pictures and videos of the women. And of course, we were not going to share any of that. So we were there just as observers. We were not there to encourage. And we did begin messaging with a few of them. And there was one user in particular called Piotr, calling him Piotr. That's not his real name. He was Polish. And he admitted to me that he had been drugging and raping his wife. He shared a lot of pictures and videos of his wife with me. And we eventually tracked him down because we wanted to prove that he was who he said he was, to show that there are real men behind these usernames.
Mm-hmm. Did he agree to meet you and your colleagues?
We tried. He did not want to meet. And so in the end, we felt that our best way of trying to prove that he was real was to actually go and see him in a restaurant. He had let slip that he was going to be at a party, and we ended up in the same room as him. And so we were able to see him and his wife. And it was a difficult moment. We had talked a lot with other colleagues about, you know, how do we, would we want to confront him? And we ended up deciding not to do that because we didn't know how he would react. We didn't know if this could put his wife in danger. And so in the end, we handed over our findings to the Polish police.
Mm-hmm. And you don't know what has happened since?
Well, they are looking into it. Mm-hmm. And that's all we know for now.
I mean, you mentioned as well that some of these videos, you're aware, have been created in Ireland. And so there are issues here in your reporting for every jurisdiction, including this one, around what should be done and what action might be taken as a result. Are you aware that there are any active investigations happening on foot of what CNN has uncovered?
There doesn't seem to be any investigations that are happening in the wake of our piece, though we have been, as you can imagine, emailing, trying to find out from MPs, from the European Commission, you know, many bodies to see what they are trying to do, because there clearly need to be stronger laws here. You know, these platforms keep saying that they can't be responsible for the type of content that is uploaded, but there has to be some accountability here.
Mm-hmm. And you spoke to some of the women who are the survivors of these types of crimes. What did they have to say?
Yeah, we spoke to three survivors for the piece, Zoe, Amanda and Valentina. And you know, the sad truth is, Claire, they weren't that hard to find. And in fact, since this investigation has gone out there now, has been aired, has been published, we put out a call out, and many women have been in touch saying that they too have been drugged and raped by their partners. And, you know, the women that we spoke to said that it was really hard for them to accept what had happened because of the drugs, the memory loss. And these are, you know, the men that they trusted the most. And so to be able to just digest what's happened, that takes time. And then, of course, you've got the uphill battle of actually getting a conviction, which can be incredibly hard as well.
Mm-hmm. And one of the women who had four children with her husband, a life that she felt was normal. I'm talking here about Zoe. I mean, her husband told her himself what he was doing. He confessed to everything, didn't he?
He did. He confessed after church. He reeled off a list to her. And he said that he'd been crushing their son's sleeping medicine into her last cup of tea at night, and that he was tying her down, raping her and taking pictures. And Zoe doesn't even know what's happened to those pictures, what's happened to those videos. And that's what I think is also important to note here, is that, you know, this kind of content can actually also live on. So even though, you know, the partner, the husband may be arrested, convicted, the videos of the rapes, and we know this to be true in some cases, are still online. Mm-hmm. that for the survivors is incredibly difficult because it just re-traumatizes them and means that this kind of there's this endless cycle of violence that they can't put an end to.
And the toll for her, I mean, she made the decision to press charges, to go to the police. And we all sit here and we think, well, that was the right thing to do. But then the result of that was like a really long investigation, all sorts of impacts on her life in the community and her family life, a huge toll on her.
Huge toll. I mean, she describes how some neighbours didn't understand that they felt that she should have, you know, protected her husband. And there were just all sorts of rumours that were going around the village. She had to move. She was worried about the reputation that, you know, her sons would have and that they would know what their father did. So that's why, again, these types of crime are especially cruel, because it is so difficult to know in that moment what to do. And Zoe, I think, speaks very eloquently, very articulately to this, in that it's not an easy decision to take to decide to press charges. And at first, I believe Zoe thought she'd be able to kind of handle this herself, and that, you know, she didn't necessarily want to put her husband away, the father of her children, away in prison for a very long time. So it really does speak to why this kind of abuse is also underreported.
Mm-hmm. Well, Saskia, thank you very much for telling us about that CNN special investigation. Saskia Van Doorn is a CNN reporter. And if any of those issues have impacted you, you can call Women's Aid. The number is 1-800-341-900. That's 1-800-341-900.
The Clare Byrne Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekday mornings at 9 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.